As we continue through the Bible, we are presently in Ezekiel chapters 5 and 6 this week. And so again, I urge you, I encourage you, I implore you, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Surely 2 chapters a week isn't too much to read and to keep up with. And go through the Bible with us. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So Ezekiel 5 and 6, oh, what important lessons are hidden for us in the pages of God's word. This morning we'd like to look at Ezekiel chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is speaking to the remnant who have escaped the sword and were not slain, but have been taken as captives and scattered throughout the nations. And he said, "And you who have escaped shall remember me among the nations where you have been carried captives, because I am broken with your whorish heart, which has departed from me, and with your eyes which go whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all of their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them." When I was younger, I'm still young, but when I was younger, there used to be a very popular song, and the lyrics of the song, part of the lyrics, went something like this: "The greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return." What a beautiful, exciting thing it is to love and to be loved in return. One of the saddest things you will ever experience is to love and not be loved in return. That's so tragic. That's so sad. To love completely, to love totally, and yet not have that love returned. God loves you with an incomprehensible love. The question is, are you returning that love to God? God speaks of being broken. Broken with the whorish heart of the people of Israel. The people that God loved, the people that God had chosen to be his people. And yet they did not return that love. But they had hearts filled with adultery, and they worshiped other gods and did not return his love. And God speaks of his brokenness, his broken heart over the people's whorish heart. In the beginning, when God created man, the purpose of creating man was to have someone to love him. God was looking for love. And as we have mentioned before, for love to be meaningful, there has to be freedom. There has to be choice. You cannot force someone to love you. Now, you may create a robot that can perform many functions in place of a human being. But a robot can never be created that can offer you meaningful love. Why? Because a robot cannot be created with the capacity of choice. It can only operate within the programmed parameters. Now, tragically, and this is what God is talking about with the people here in the text, people have exercised that choice in a wrong way. They have chosen not to love God, not to serve God, not to return God's love to Him. Man chose to follow his own lust rather than the will of God. And thus, this brought an alienation with God, a broken relationship. Man's love for himself and his own desires exceeded his love for God. And this turning from God brought pain to the heart of God, and it brought suffering and death to man. Now, God still loved. Though man turned from that love, it did not cause God's love to cease. And God sought to restore man to that loving relationship with himself. And he was looking for a man with simple faith and trust in him, that through that man God could bring forth a nation through which God could prove to the world the benefits, the blessings, the joys that would accrue to a nation who would put God first and love God above all else. God was desiring a nation to be an example to the world, to show the world how glorious it could be if men only loved God. And from Abraham, God promised a nation. But then God also was seeking a nation through which he could bring the Savior, the Messiah, the one who would make the way for man to be able to respond again completely to God's love. And so God called Abraham, and God promised to make of him a great nation, and that through his descendant, the Messiah, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. And thus God loved the nation of Israel. And God blessed the nation of Israel. He manifested his love to them in many ways. He brought them out of horrible bondage and slavery in Egypt. And he gave to them there in the wilderness his rules for a happy, prosperous life. He gave to them his commandments. These are the rules. These are the laws. If you are to be a strong, powerful, prosperous nation, you must observe these rules. Having given them the rules, he then brought them into a very fertile land with tremendous potential, that they might develop the potential of that land and live in the glory of fellowshipping and knowing God, putting God first in the national life. God made them strong. God delivered their enemies into their hands, and they prospered in the land. But then, some of the people began to rebel in their hearts against the Lord. They began to turn to the gods of the heathen. The gods that the people worshiped in heathen lands. The first two commandments that God had given to them, rules for the happy, abundant life, were, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. Your love for God must exceed all other loves. The second commandment that God gave unto them was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But they broke these first two basic commandments, and they began to put other gods before him, and they began to love and to worship these other gods. Some of the people have become obsessed with their desire for pleasure. And pleasure became their god. They called the god of pleasure Molech. And they began to worship pleasure. Pleasure became the paramount desire and issue in their lives. Everything that they did was geared around the pleasure that they could extract from that experience. Others had become obsessed with sex. They had begun to worship the goddess of sex. They called her Ashtoreth. And their whole life became obsessed by their sexual desires. Still others became obsessed with their desire for power. And they began to worship the god Mammon, who was the deification of power. Now God knew that to give their lives over to loving and to serving these other gods would only lead them into bondage, suffering, and moral weakness that would lead them into captivity. And that's exactly what God is talking about in this text. If you give yourself over to these evils, to worshiping these other gods, they are going to destroy you as a nation. You will become weak. You will be destroyed. You will fall prey and victim to your enemies. You'll be carried as captives throughout the lands. And God said, and then you'll know that I was right when I warned you about these things. Last night, I was speaking to the young people out on the lawn. And when I mentioned about several years ago when I was in college, they giggled. And I had to admit it was more than several years ago when I was in college. But there was a girl that I was very infatuated with. I thought I loved her. I wanted so desperately to develop a meaningful relationship with her. And she just didn't really want anything to do with me. And I remember one time being with some friends, and I called her up and asked her for a date, and she said no, she was busy. Couldn't make it. And there was this fellow who was a real total jerk. He chased gals all the time. He didn't really respect them, and I remember he then called her up and asked her for a date on the same night, and she accepted. I got the message. But I thought, hey, gal, that guy's a total jerk. I know him. I know how he, you know, has no commitment to anything. And if you go out with that guy, you're only going to get hurt. And my heart was sort of broken over the whole experience because I thought I loved her and she wanted nothing to do with me. And yet, she seemed to be interested in this guy that was a jerk. And I think that many times that perhaps is the same feeling that God has. As he loves you with a genuine love. And he sees you as you are giving yourself over to these other gods. And you are following after these other pursuits. The god of pleasure, the god of sex, the god of power. And you're enamored, you're drawn. You're attracted to. And God knows that these things cannot satisfy you. That they will only ultimately destroy you. And God is saying, my heart is broken over you. Because your whorish heart is going after other gods. God knew the consequences of enthroning these other things in their lives, and he sent his prophets to warn them. And they had ample proof from their history. All they had to do is look back in the history of the nation and realize that whenever they put God first at the heart of the nation was prospered and blessed, and they ruled over their enemies. But whenever they turned from God to these other gods, the nation became weak, and the nation was defeated by their enemies, and they were ruled by their enemies. They could go back, and their history was replete with example. As they sought the Lord, God honored and prospered them. As they turned from the Lord, they went into captivity over and over and over again. Through the book of Judges, through the books of the Kings, it was there manifested in their history, but they did not learn from their history. And they continued to seek after and to pursue the gods of the heathen. One of the prophets said to one of their kings, King Asa, the Lord is with you if you will be with him. And if you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And then the record declares concerning that king, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made his ways to prosper. God blessed him. But as a nation, they finally turned from the Lord. Only a small remnant were true to God. The vast majority of the people had whorish hearts and were worshiping and serving other gods. And now, the warnings of God unheeded, they find themselves scattered throughout the world. They've been defeated by their enemies. They've been taken captive. Now, you would think that at this point, they would have learned their lesson. Having been driven from the land, now in the misery of captivity, you would think, well, at this point at least, they've learned their lesson and they will surely return to the Lord and seek Him again. But no. Here is Ezekiel speaking to the captives there by the river Kebar in Babylon. And he is speaking God's word to them when God declared, I am broken with your whorish heart, which has departed from me. They were still resisting God's love that he was offering to them. How would you like it if someone you loved, say your wife or your husband, was constantly unfaithful to you, was constantly having affairs with someone else? That was the case of God's people. And God is bemoaning the fact of their not being faithful to Him and to His love. They were in love with other gods. They liked God, but they loved and were truly devoted to the other gods. I wonder if that is not the case with some of you. If you were questioned by a pollster, you would be among the 87% in America who say that they consider themselves to be Christians. But what could you show that really proved your love for Jesus? If loving Jesus supremely was a crime, and you were arrested for the crime of loving Jesus, do you think that the prosecutor could find enough evidence to convict you? Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. If we could follow you this past week, 24 hours a day, how much of your time would we discover was devoted into really showing your love or expressing your love to Jesus? In comparison, how much of your time was spent in front of the TV being entertained as you were worshiping Molech, the god of pleasure? The Bible speaks of a group of people who feared the Lord, but they worshiped their gods. And there are a lot of people that are in that position today. They respect the Lord. You respect Jesus. But in reality, you are worshiping other gods. There are other interests that are supreme in your life and that take up the bulk of your thought processes, of your time and energies. Truly, our nation can no longer be considered a Christian nation as it once was known to be. Though our coins still bear the inscription, "In God we trust," we are spending our money for all kinds of ungodly purposes and things. Our public schools can have instruction in witchcraft and Satanism. They can observe the satanic holiday of Halloween with parties and dress as witches and goblins. But our law prohibits them from singing Christmas carols during the Christmas season. I wonder if God isn't saying to our nation, I am broken with your whorish heart. Why is God so concerned? Why does God still love? Why doesn't God give up on them? You do not really know love until you know the love of God. That unfailing love of God. That unceasing love of God. God loves you more than you could ever comprehend or understand. Paul said to know the love of Christ which passes human knowledge. But God is concerned with you because he knows that these other gods to whom you have turned are unfaithful lovers. He knows that they will desert you when the times get tough. He knows that they will let you down in the crisis. He knows that when you are facing life or death situations, that they can be no help or condolence to you. He knows that these other gods that you have worshiped are going to destroy you, for you are actually worshiping Satan in disguise. The Bible says concerning those that worship idols, and that is the idols to the gods of sex and pleasure and power and education, that these idols, he said, were actually demons. They that were worshiping idols were worshiping demons. That explains why these other things get such a powerful hold on a person's life. People get addicted to sex. They get addicted to pleasurable experiences of taking drugs. People get addicted to pornography. We speak of a person as being a workaholic, addicted to work, addicted to his possessions. Interesting. When you realize that actually the worship of sex is the worship of Satan in disguise, the worship of pornography is the worship of Satan in disguise. No wonder these things get such a powerful hold on a person's life. Because you see, Satan isn't interested in respecting your choice. God created you with choice and he respects your choice. He knows that forced love is not love. Love has to be a free choice. And because God wants a loving relationship with you, he allows you that free choice. But Satan doesn't care about a loving relationship with you. He cares about destroying you. And thus, your free choice means nothing to him. He will force, he will coerce. He will take a hold on your life, a grip, and he won't let you go. And thus we see people who have worshiped these other gods who are really Satan in disguise. And we see what a strong hold these gods get on their lives to where they get addicted to these things and they can't stop. It isn't that they don't want to stop. Many times their heart cries out to stop, but they can't stop because they are held in the grip and in the power of darkness because they have given themselves over. And God knows that. And knowing that these other things will get a hold on your life and will gradually destroy you because he loves you. he calls. And he says, my heart is broken because of your whorish heart. I know that it's going to lead to evil. I know it's going to lead to captivity. I know it's going to lead to your destruction. And it hurts terribly to see someone you love destroyed. As your children are growing up, oftentimes you see them beginning to engage in activities or with other young people that you know are a bad influence, and you know that they're going to bring hurt and pain and suffering. And you warn your children. And you say, don't go with them. They're bad news. They're not good for you. But they defy you. They say, well, I'm 18. I can do what I please. Don't tell me how to live. And you know what pain this relationship is going to bring. And you do everything you can to keep them from pursuing that relationship, but they defy you and do anyhow. Now, you don't stop loving them. You don't say, well, don't listen to me, then forget it. You know, don't ever see me again. No, you still love them, but you are hurt. You're pained. As God said, I'm broken with your whorish heart. And you wait and pray for the day when they will wake up, but you know it's going to be an extremely painful day for them. You know the pain and the hurt that they're going to go through. And you wait for them to come to themselves, so that you can minister to them and counsel with them and help them through that pain. But you know that they could have spared themselves. That's the tragedy. They could have spared themselves all of that hurt and pain and suffering had they only listened. And God the same, seeing the choices that you make, the gods that you have chosen to enthrone, he's broken. He knows the pain it's going to bring. The hurt that you're going to experience. The suffering that you must endure. And he waits. And still he holds out his hands. And he calls. And he asks you to come to him. To return to him. To know his love. And that's the wonderful thing about God's love. Is that he allows you to exercise that choice and to go your own way, knowing the pain and the suffering you're going to experience. He does his best to stop you, but when you go, he only waits until you come to your senses and you realize, this is destroying me. This is destroying my family. This is destroying everything that's important to me. And then you try to stop. You say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then you find yourself doing it. And you find yourself ripped, torn, despairing, because you can't quit. Because you've opened the door and Satan has got a hold on your life. But oh, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. If you will only return to God, if you'll only come to Jesus Christ, he will break the powers of darkness that have a hold on your life, and he will set you free, free to love God as God intended you to. Free to serve God as God would have you to do. Only the power of God is stronger than the power of Satan. Only God can set you free from the power of sin. But God loves you. And he wants you to love him. And And so he waits for you to make that choice of coming to him. Because it has to be your choice. Now, Satan is doing everything within his power to keep you from making that choice. And some of you this very minute are going through a violent inner struggle. As the truth of God is reaching your heart, and you know what is being said is true, but Satan is placing that grip even tighter upon your life this morning, and he's giving all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't do it today. Sometime, yes, but he gives you reasons why you shouldn't do it now. That he might keep you in his control, that he might destroy you. The prophet cried, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And that's exactly what you must do. Choose which God will rule over your life. Whether you will serve and love the true and the living God or one of the other gods who are in reality Satan disguised in these various guises. God's heart is broken for you. He knows the day will come when he says here that you will loathe yourself. You will loathe the evil that you have done. When you see what it's done to you, you'll loathe it. But oh, how tragic to come to that place where you've destroyed everything that is valuable and good and worthwhile. Yes, God will forgive. Yes, God will take you back. But oh, in the meantime, you can do so much damage that can't many times be undone. And you loathe yourself for that evil that you have committed. As you finally begin to reap the consequences of your folly and of your sin. Just a word to the dads today. Remember, dads, that you have sons, so many of you, who are watching you and using you as their model. And you are either modeling for them a life of commitment to God and demonstrating the benefits of that life, or you are modeling for them a life of rebellion against God. God can have a place in your life, but it doesn't have to be first place. And that message comes through loud and clear. I think of how many fathers have destroyed their own children unwittingly. Maybe you like to have a couple of beers and you say, "Oh, there's nothing wrong. I can take a couple of beers and I just enjoy it. I can handle it." But what about your son? How do you know? But he has a metabolism that can't metabolize the beer. That by his following your example, starting to take a couple beers, he'll become an alcoholic and totally destroy his life with alcoholism. Maybe he picked up from the wife some of those characteristic and capacities that make it impossible for a person to metabolize the alcohol, and he will turn it, and you're making an alcoholic out of your son by your example. Because he feels the freedom. Dad does it. Smart thing. I can do it. My family, that's very close to me. Because my grandfather felt that they ought to model drinking for the children, for the family. And thus always wine at the table and teaching them how to drink socially, and in moderation. My grandfather could do it, and we'll teach our sons how to do it. As the result, every one of my uncles died an alcoholic. Only my father died not an alcoholic, because thank God, Jesus Christ came into his life and spared him from that debt and delivered him from the powers of darkness. But their experiment was a total failure in the lives of the other four sons. God said, the day will come when you will loathe yourself for the evil that you've committed. That's always true, but oh, how sad to get down the road, so far down the road, and realize it's the wrong road. It's led me to destruction, not to life, not to true happiness, not to peace and contentment. And thus God cries out. He said, my heart is broken for your harsh heart as you've turned to these other gods. Think about it. The Bible said, let a man examine himself, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And as you look into your own heart, just who is on the throne? Looking at the throne within your own heart, does Jesus occupy the throne? Is your love for him supreme, paramount, exceeding all other loves? Or is the desire for pleasure, the desire for sex, or these other things, do they rule in your heart? You must choose to serve God. And when you do, he'll set you free from the powers of darkness. And I encourage you to do so today. Shall we pray? Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will now take the word and burn it deep in our hearts. We know, Lord, how Satan likes to distort the truth, how to confuse the issue, how to cloud the mind, and how to hold people back. He forces himself. But, oh God, some of them are tired of their sin. They've come to the place where they can see what it's doing to them, and they want help. And, Father, I thank you that you are there to help. You're there to deliver. You're there to set free. And may they turn, Lord, to you with all their hearts to receive your love and to return that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? On my left, your right, at the corner, there is a door that goes back into the prayer room. If you would like to go back there this morning and meet with one of the pastors or the counselors, feel free to do so. They are there to pray for you. God bless you. Give you a beautiful week. And dads, have a great day in the Lord.